Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Tuesday, February 5th, 2013. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, Idaho Department of Correction finds inconsistencies with private prison corporations and monthly reports. Moscow City Council approves dynamic display sign limitations, and City Council hears 1912 Center annual report. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The Idaho Department of Correction reports they are looking at staffing levels after inconsistencies were found in monthly reports from Corrections Corporation of America, a private prison firm which operates the state-owned Idaho Correctional Center near Boise. Corrections Corporation of America, based in Nashville, is the largest private prison operating firm in the United States. The Associated Press says documents obtained through a public records request says monthly staffing report sent to the Department of Correction lists guards working 24, 36, and 48-hour shifts without time off. About 200 people were on hand for the Senate Commerce and Human Resources Committee's hearing on creating a state-based Idaho Health Insurance Exchange today, including many who believe the legislature should vote to nullify the Federal Affordable Health Care Act as it applies in Idaho. Boise resident Eric Peterson expressed his opposition to health care reform to the committee, saying, "I'm against any form of health insurance exchange. We have God-given rights, and the better strategy is just to stand up and say no. We need to stand up for our liberty. This is a gross violation of our liberty, and if we don't stand up, we'll lose it." Governor Butch Otter's chief of staff, David Hensley, told the committee it would be far cheaper for the state to set up its own exchange rather than allowing the federal government to set up the exchange for Idaho, which is the other option in the federal law. Hensley said, "We don't want to leave those individuals and small businesses at the mercy of the federal government. Even with the restrictions of Obamacare, we know we can do a better job at this than the federal government." Hensley said it will cost $10 million per year to run the exchange, with the average Idaho insurance purchaser paying $58 in fees when they purchase through the online exchange. He said it costs an individual an average of $150 in fees per year to purchase through a federal exchange. Employer Health Coalition of Idaho head Fernando Velos said his group favors the state-based exchange. Velos told the committee creation of the exchange is inevitable. The state will come out better with a state exchange. The Senate Commerce and Human Resources Committee has scheduled another hearing on the Idaho-based health insurance exchange proposal for Thursday. The Moscow City Council approved regulations on animated signs last night. The standard for the signs was set at 100 square feet maximum per sign and 150 square feet maximum per lot. Last year, the City Council asked staff and the Planning and Zoning Commission to look into creating a set of rules for dynamic animated advertising signs. They were concerned there would be a potential risk of distraction to drivers by the rapidly changing or animated signs. Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap told the council about the recommendations from a Planning and Zoning Signage Commission, or rather a Planning and Zoning Commission Signage Subcommittee headed by Jerry Schutz, which were in turn approved by the P&Z Commission.
As the committee looked at recommendation at the location, the committee felt that the signs should be permitted within the motor business, general business, and industrial zoning districts. That's consistent with the emergency ordinance. With respect to size, the subcommittee felt that there should be a maximum allowable amount of dynamic display on an individual building lot. Currently, the emergency ordinance only regulates the maximum size of any individual dynamic display sign to be no more than 100 square feet in size, but it does not preclude a 100 square foot freestanding sign or a 50 foot monument sign or another 50 square feet of wall sign on one individual lot. And so the subcommittee felt that there should be a limit on that lot. The subcommittee also felt that within the general business zoning district, no single sign should exceed 100 square feet in size, that there be no such limitation of any single sign size within the motor business or the industrial zoning district. So you could have a dynamic display sign that was 150 square feet in size, or that area could be distributed upon different signs. You could have a 100 square foot freestanding sign and 50 square feet on a wall sign, if you wish to, in those zoning districts. As we looked at the operational standards for the committee felt that the city should adopt the Idaho Transportation Department standards, which included a prohibition against any kind of animation or moving display, with the except of the transition time, that the message or image on the dynamic display sign must remain static for a minimum of 8 seconds, that the automated change, so the transition, must be accomplished within 2 seconds. So as you may recall, the emergency ordinance had a minimum display duration of 5 seconds, so this would increase that to 8, and then our transition time was 1 second, and this would increase that to 2.
That was Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap. Belknap said the committee recommended the signs be prohibited from emanating any sounds and sets precise daytime and nighttime brightness limits, with additional requirements that the signs may not be brighter than nearby traffic signs and lights. Again, Bill Belknap.
We saw from two members on the subcommittee that own these types of signs, from Tri-State and John and Archer, is that they are, all of them are generally dimmable. And this both was confirmed by the sign company. They have a very similar brightness display as your TV. There's a slider bar when you turn up or down.
So far, there are 14 dynamic display signs in Moscow, including 8 new ones put up in the past 3 years. The largest dynamic display sign is 194 square feet at Tri-State. That sign will be grandfathered in and will be able to continue to operate. City Councilmember Wayne Krause had a question about dynamic sign sizes.
Just to be clear, Bill, this the square footage is a finite amount. As in Tri-State's situation, because of additional landscaping and a variety of things, they were allowed to increase the size of the sign under the current sign ordinance. As the commission or the committee put forth, this was a finite size, right? 150 or 100, whichever we decide on, and landscaping does not allow you to go any larger.
The sign itself could be larger, but the dynamic display component of it could not be larger. So just maybe to provide a little bit of background, under the city code, essentially freestanding signs are generally limited to 100 square feet in size. There is an additional bonus of sign area that can be granted if you provide landscaping at the base of that sign. Essentially, it's one half square foot for every 1 square foot of landscaping that's placed at the base of the sign. So you can have a single entity freestanding sign that is 200 square feet in size if you put 200 square feet of landscaping at the base of that sign.
That was Moscow Community Development Director Bill Belknap, preceded by City Council Member Wayne Krause. Since September, the city operated under an emergency sign ordinance, limiting signs to the current limit of 100 square feet, along with standards for animation, brightness, and transition times. The Moscow City Council heard the annual report on the 1912 Center from Jennifer Kostroff of Heart of the Arts Incorporated at last night's meeting. Kostroff gave updates on recently completed construction at the city-owned building at East 3rd and Adams Streets, and talked about upcoming projects.
We were awarded an Idaho Heritage Trust grant of a $4,500 cash match to allow the repair of our balustrades. Now, this is specifically over the West End entrance that is missing its top balustrade right now, and all the pieces are being sort of archived and cataloged there, but they need to be repaired. It's a terracotta piece that we have to find the casts for the original or reproduce casts for those pieces and get them produced, the ones that are broken or missing. So with this grant in place, we'll be able to complete that work on the West End entrance. And then our goal is to complete the lighting on the West End parking lot, which is in progress right now, and deal with the landscaping and 1912 Center sign, a real true 1912 Center, you know where you are sign, will be put on the south southwest corner of the property. And then there are some roof repairs that will need to be done in 2013. And then we'd like to, by the end of the year, have the cash in hand to go out to bid to do the repairs to this lovely, ugly side of the building. It needs its boards removed, windows replaced, tuck pointing repairs, sealant, you name it. I'd like to get it done. I'd like to at least be in construction by the end of 2013, which means we have some fundraising to do.
That was Jennifer Kostroff of Heart of the Arts Incorporated, which operates the city-owned 1912 Center, speaking at last night's Moscow City Council meeting. Moscow City Attorney Randy Fife announced yesterday he is resigning and returning to his hometown of Idaho Falls. The 57-year-old Fife said he will resign effective March 15th and will become Idaho Falls City Attorney April 1st. Fife has been Moscow's attorney for more than 16 years. Fife will make a larger salary working for Idaho Falls and will be tasked with setting up a law office for the city. Fife said he enjoyed his time in Moscow and added, he knows of no other city where the community is so engaged. City Supervisor Gary Riedner said the city will begin advertising the opening and screening the position during the next several weeks. Mayor Nancy Cheney will make an appointment that will require confirmation by the city council. Voters in Asotin County will decide on a proposal to combine the Asotin County government with the local city governments of Clarkston and Asotin in November. The petition to put the measure on the ballot was submitted by a group called Citizens for Better Government. The petition would create a committee of 17 freeholders to write out a home rule charter combining the three governments. County commissioners have scheduled a town hall meeting for Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. at the county courthouse in Asotin. If the communities vote yes, the top 17 freeholder candidates would draft the consolidation regardless of where they live. Pullman police are investigating a 20-person altercation that began early Sunday morning on College Hill. Two men were taken to the hospital after being stabbed during the brawl. One of the men who was stabbed suffered a punctured lung and is in intensive care. Police say his injuries are not life-threatening and he's expected to make a full recovery. The other man was stabbed in the buttocks and was treated and released at Pullman Regional Hospital. Police received a call about the fight around 2 a.m. Sunday and responded to Campus Commons North Apartments on Northeast Terraview Drive. Police found a 3-inch pocket knife with blood on it. The knife is currently being tested to see if it was used in the stabbings. Officers say they have identified all suspects but are still trying to determine what happened. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather from the National Weather Service. There will be a 60% chance of rain showers before 10 p.m. tonight, then a chance of rain and snow showers, snow level 3,100 feet, mostly cloudy, low 34, little or no snow accumulation expected, 20% chance of rain and snow showers before 10 a.m. tomorrow, then a slight chance of snow showers after 4 p.m., snow level 2,900 feet, mostly cloudy, high 44, south winds 10 to 15, 60% chance of snow Wednesday night, then rain and snow likely towards dawn, mostly cloudy, low 32, little or no snow accumulation expected. 70% chance of rain on Thursday, possibly mixed with snow showers. Snow level 2,700 feet, cloudy, high 38, less than half an inch of snow possible. 40% chance of snow showers Thursday night, mainly after 4 a.m., cloudy, low 28, less than half an inch of snow possible, and a 30% chance of snow showers before 10 a.m. Friday, then a slight chance of rain showers, mostly cloudy, high 35, less than half an inch of snow possible. It'll be partly sunny and sunny throughout the weekend. Currently, we have a few clouds, 40 degrees in Moscow. Coming up is This Way Out, the International Lesbian Gay News Magazine. That'll be followed by Flashpoints, the Daily Investigative News Magazine from Pacifica Radio at 6:30. And then the new ZBS radio drama on the schedule. It's self-contained episodes called Stars and Stuff. It's science fiction. And that'll be on at 7:30. Ted and Andrea will be in for Confinement Loaf playing hard rock and psychedelia for you 8 to 10 here on KRFP Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix and the recordings of local events, the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow, be sure to become a member. Memberships are only $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. That's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or go to the Radio Free Moscow website, krfp.org, or radiofreemoscow.com to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. I'm Lee Robartis. Craig Wheeler, assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow.